Our Father in heaven, I give you glory and praise this morning. I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We declare that it is so this morning. Touch our minds and our hearts, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, to open up and have understanding of what the Spirit is saying. We give you, Lord, glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So I'm going to do parables of the kingdom, a deep dive. You'll see right away I called it part one because there's no way you can do this in one lesson. But, you know, I've spoken on the parables from time to time. I love parables of the kingdom. And God speak to me in parables as well. You know, not just the ones that are written in the Bible, but other parables, you know, that he gives me. So anyway, I'm going to read here Psalm 78. I'm reading from verse 1. Psalm 78, I read from verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Amen. I will open my mouth in a parable. Well, actually, I open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. You've heard it. You've known it. Our fathers have told us, but we'll declare them again. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Why? Because he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Hallelujah. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children in turn, that they all might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and not be as their fathers who are past, stubborn and rebellious generation, generation that did not set their heart right, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. But for us, we want to make sure that we set our hearts on the things of the Lord. You know, so according to this scripture, by the grace of God, you know, Jesus one time, he went into the synagogue and found the place where it was written in the book of Isaiah, and he began to declare it for himself. And then after he finished declaring, he gave the book to the minister and said, well, today are these things fulfilled in your ears. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, let me say also today, I'm going to find a place in the scripture where it was written. I found one place already. Let me find another place where it is written in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let me also read this place. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Why? Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God, for he is the rock. He is the true rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. Praise the Lord. Let me find another place, because that's what Jesus did. Found places in the scripture concerning what he's about to to do. And then he laid it out before the people. And then he said, well, now, today, you know, are these things fulfilled in your ears? Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. The Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Wakeneth morning by morning, every day. Wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The the Lord God had opened mine ear. Can you declare that for yourself? The Lord has opened my ear and I was not rebellious. Neither turned I back. Praise the Lord. So today, by the grace of God, I want to go into some of these parables of the kingdom, you know, beginning today. And the two key words here that we want to go into, one of them is parables. The other is kingdom. And most of the time, the one that told these parables was Jesus. And so we're going to take a look at some of these parables. And why did he tell them? According to the dictionary, a parable is a simple story, at least one dictionary definition. A parable is a simple story that is used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson as told by Jesus in the Gospels. This is in the dictionary, and they are even referring to Jesus, because, you know, when you talk of parables, well, you know, there's a man called Balaam in the Bible. I told he took up his parable. And he said a few things. But most of the time, Jesus was the one credited with giving these parables, you know. So we're going to see, try to look at what was in his mind. What was he doing, you know, with these parables? What was he saying? You know, why not just tell it to us straight? Why are you telling it to us as a parable? Well, because it is written of him that he will open his mouth in parables. So we will cover some of these parables in detail. We will also cover concept of the kingdom. Why was it that Jesus, you know, was so bent on talking about these things? And so let's take a look at some of them. I want to start here. I mean, there are many, many, many places in the scriptures where Jesus talked about parables. In fact, there are some chapters in the Bible that are parables from the beginning of the chapter to the end. There are many places. There are lessons in Matthew chapter 13. Whole chapter is parables, pretty much. There's Matthew chapter 20, parables there. There's Matthew chapter 25, there are parables there. There's Mark chapter 4, there are parables there. There's Luke chapter 19, there's parables there. I mean, it's just all over the place. And these gospel writers, they recorded various ones as the Lord gave them remembrance. But I want to start here in the one that, one of the parables that are in Matthew chapter 13. I want to start there because it brings out a good concept. In Matthew chapter 13 was where Jesus was giving and talking about some of the parables, such as parable of the sower and a few other ones, which you will see. The one that he leads off with here, or I want to lead off with here, you know, is where, you know, he talks about the parable of the sower. That's the first one, you know, that is listed in Matthew chapter 13. Well, let's read it. We're just going to use this also as some scripture reading. It's always good to read the scriptures. Now it says, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So he sat on the ship and would speak to them from the ship. Now, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up. But because they had no deepness of earth, you know, they sprung up quickly. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And he ended the parable with, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." It's almost similar to all the things that when he was writing, having John write the letters to the churches in Asia Minor in those days, or seven churches in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, multiple times he would say, "Let him that hath an ear hear what this Spirit is saying unto the churches." Well, here Jesus is saying the same thing. Who has an ear to hear? Let him hear. Now, well, that means that right away you can see that the way that Jesus is saying that, we know everybody has ears, but are your ears trained to hear? If your ears are trained to hear, then hear. Because some people will hear, but they won't hear. Well, we'll talk about that in a bit. So after he finished this, the disciples came unto him and said, "Why speakest thou to them in parables? Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Now, they're asking me about parables, and he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. So you can see that his intent was to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven in these parables. That's what he's saying here. "To you it is given to for the, you to know, but to them it's not given." But giving what? Well, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You know, so as we go through these parables, let's look for the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven inside those parables. Because that's what Jesus said he's trying to convey. But some will understand and some will not. And he said, well, "For whosoever hath..." Now this is an important principle, you know, that Jesus talked about several times. "Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance." We're talking about the things of the kingdom now. We're not just talking about material wealth, you know. "But whosoever hath not," I mean, "to him shall be taken even that which he hath." Now, that seems a little bit weird. I mean, why would you give more to somebody who already has? You know, and why will you take from someone who else has nothing? Well, he's talking about mysteries here. It's not as plain as it sounds. There is a dark saying behind it. And the Holy Spirit will help us to understand what he's saying. He said, "Well, therefore speak I to them in parables. Because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, 'By hearing you shall hear and not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes also have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them.'" You know, these people can't see, he said. Isaiah prophesied of them. But you, he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Hallelujah. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see, and hear those things which you, have seen, but you have not seen them, and they have not heard the things that you see and hear. Now, and then he's going to go on to explain the parable of the sower. Now, but before we go to the parable of the sower, why did Isaiah prophesy, that, these people have eyes to see, but they can't see. They have, ears to hear, but they cannot hear. And their hearts are made fat so that they cannot understand anything. Why did he say that? And what did it all mean? Because Jesus would explain it here. And also the fact that, they cannot understand anything. Why did he say that? So let's see what Jesus is meaning, by these things. In the book of, it's not only Isaiah that talked about the children of Israel that would not hear anything. Even Jeremiah sometimes talked about it. Ezekiel sometimes talked about it. But let's leave, since this is intended to be a deep dive, let's look at, some of these things and where they are said. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 6, let's look at what Isaiah would say. Remember, in that chapter, he had a tremendous experience. He saw the glory of the Lord, and the Lord caused one of the seraphims to do something to him and branded his tongue. And then, the Lord asked a question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he said, well, here I am, send me. And then the Lord gave him this message, say, well, go then. This is Isaiah chapter 6, and verse 9. Go then and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed. And then Isaiah said, well, my goodness, that sounds harsh. Well, how long? And the Lord told him some things. So the purpose of hearing and seeing is for the heart to understand. So there are these gateways to the heart to finally get understanding. The eyes and the ears. Well, when the eyes see, and what the ears hear can lead to understanding in the heart or not. And Jesus is talking about this. He referred to it in that Isaiah said these things. Make the heart of the people fat so they won't understand anything. Jeremiah the prophet, he also alluded to some of these things, how that the people, will have no understanding. They have eyes that cannot see. He talked about that in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21. He said, declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, just like Isaiah was told to go and tell him. Well, Jeremiah was told to tell it also. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and have ears and hear not. Now, So, you know, it's been a long time of old that people have had eyes but cannot see. And they've had ears but cannot hear. So it's not a new thing. It's been there. You know, these prophets spoke about it. You know, and Jesus is saying the same thing here. All the way in the New Testament, he's talking about it. Isaiah spoke about it. Jeremiah spoke about it. And even Ezekiel might have alluded to it a little bit. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 12, we see in verses 1 and 2, he said, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou that dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not, they have ears to hear, and they hear not, for they are a rebellious house." So now the Lord, in this one here, we're seeing that when somebody is rebellious, you know, they will not hear and they will not see. Even if they were seeing, they will reject it. It's really what it is. But they are rebellious. So they reject what the Lord is trying to communicate. And communication of the Spirit that Jesus was putting forth through these parables were intended to show the mysteries of the kingdom. But he said, many of them don't understand, and they can't see it. But to his disciples, he began to explain it. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. I read those scriptures in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel just to show you some of the things. Jesus was specifically referring to the one of Isaiah. But, you know, you can see that two or more of these prophets speak about the same thing, that they can see with their eyes but not really see, hear with their ears but not really hear anything, and their heart will not perceive or understand anything. So, back to Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus was about, now he's about to explain this parable to his disciples. You know, but before we go into what the parable really means, let's take a look at something, you know, that Jesus said in these parables. Now, remember that it was a sower, he said, that went out to sow. And Jesus would explain it later on, what it all means, you know, but let's just take a quick high-level summary of this parable. This sower was casting out seeds. Some were falling in different places. You know, let's look at the different places where they fell. There was one called Wayside. And then there's another one called Stony Places, which is like the rock, you know, which has no earth. It's really hard for something to grow there. And there's another place that's called, you know, among thorns. You know, then there's another place called good ground. So we see these four categories of places where the seed that the man was casting fell. And he was just going and throwing things and keep on moving. Throw it here, keep on moving, throw it there, keep on moving. And the thing is falling wherever it falls. You know, so now Jesus says, here is the understanding of these parables. He told them, he said, you know, now hear the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 and 18. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now this is he which received the seed by the wayside. I call them wayside hearers of the word of God. They're not really, you know, their mind is not set on understanding the word. So they hear it, and because they have no understanding, the devil comes and takes it away from them. Now, but how are they going to get understanding? So, you know, this is kind of like, you know, catch 22, or I mean, you need the word to get understanding, but if you don't have understanding, then the devil takes the word from you. How are you going to get understanding without the word? You know, we're going to find out why Jesus is saying these things. You know, wayside hearers of the word. They're not hearing the word in order for them to get understanding. The purpose of hearing the word is for you to get understanding. That's what Jesus is saying. And the word that he's talking about is the word of the kingdom, not just some random word. It's the word of the kingdom. Now, if you hear it and you don't understand it, then the devil's going to come and take it away from you. Now, why is it that people don't have understanding? Well, some people, it is not given to them. So we see that if you have understanding of the word of God, when you get it, you ought to praise the Lord, because it's not given to everybody. And you can't boast that you, you know, got it. You know, you have to just acknowledge the Lord for giving it to you. Because the understanding that you have, I mean, that others don't have, it comes from the Lord. Now, these ones that are by the wayside did not have understanding. But we're going to talk more about that understanding. It looks as if Jesus is saying here that the purpose of hearing is for you to get understanding. And if you don't have that understanding, then you're going to lose. This is what he means by he that doesn't have, it will be taken from him, even what he has. If you don't have understanding, then the word of God will be taken from you. I mean, your mind will just be blocked. You know, but their mind was blocked in the first place. And because they didn't get an understanding, their mind would be even more blocked. You know, that's a mystery by itself. You know, so let's look at some of the things, you know, that the Bible is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, you know, Paul brings up a principle here. You know, what makes you to be special or different from anyone else? What maketh thee to differ from somebody else that's different? Why is it that different? What makes you to be different? You know, why are you puffed up? He said, you know, some people are puffed up, you know, and in themselves. They think on themselves or this and that and so forth. So Paul is going to talk about these things, you know, because he said, the Lord knows the counsels of the hearts of man. And he said, look, you know, even my partner in the ministry, Apollos, you know, transferred some things to myself and him that, look, we don't want anybody to think of us more highly than we should or be puffed up one against another. And you don't even want this in your mind. If you have understanding and somebody else doesn't, don't get puffed up about it. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what is it that you have, that you have not received? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? So this is an important principle. You know, anyone that has understanding, there is no boasting. Where is boasting then? Because it came not from you, it came from the Lord. You know, and for those that don't have understanding, well, maybe they don't have understanding yet. The key word might be yet. Because they might still have understanding. You know, so, but there is nothing to boast about. You know, I mean, some people think that they know a whole lot of stuff. They know mysteries. They know this. They know that. And then they become boastful. The devil will get you one way or another. Get you even through pride. Because knowledge can puff off sometimes. You think, well, I know this thing. So you're boastful and you look down on others. Jesus told a parable, you know, a story. In, you know, Luke chapter 18, two men that went to pray, and he told these things. He said, because of those that thought in themselves that they were better than others and despised others. So he told them this thing. The two men went to pray. One thought he was better than the other, and he prayed within himself. Didn't even pray to God. Pray within himself. Wow. God, I thank you that his prayer wasn't going anywhere, so Jesus said, I was praying to himself. I thank you because I'm not as other men. I have understanding. You know, I am not like, I know that, you know, even in the '70s, when some of us first came into the so-called end time ministry, there was a lot of pride with that thing. You know, people would call the others that didn't understand. You know, refer to them as some bunch and different things, you know, just look down on everybody else. You know, we are the elect, we're the cream of the crop, we're the this and we're the that, and everybody else is nobody. You know, there was a lot of foolishness back in those days. Thankfully, you know, many people have repented of those things and back in the right way. You know, we have to always humble ourselves before the Lord. You're not better than anybody else. You know, God is the one that gives you wisdom and is able to give wisdom to them too. The way I see it is they just don't know it yet. Someday they will know it. It's just that simple. Because, you know, you didn't know it at first either, but eventually you did. Well, so maybe they don't know it yet. God hasn't granted them knowledge yet. You know, God's the one that grants everything, even repentance. God's the one that grants repentance. God's the one that grants everything. When he grants it to them, they will know it. Now, these ones, back to our parable, that did not have understanding, because they did not have understanding, then the devil came and took it from them. So it is important for us to guard our hearts and give any devil any opportunity to come and take anything from you. Safeguard your heart with understanding. That's right. You know, because, you know, it is the one that doesn't have understanding. That's the one that gets into trouble. Proverbs talk about, you know, say, I saw a man without understanding that did not keep his eyes to himself and looking at a woman that said, that's the path to hell. You know, but he started out by saying the man has no understanding. That's why he's doing those things. You know, so understanding is so important, ladies and gentlemen. Now, but what was it that the sower was sowing? That's the other thing too. Remember I said at the beginning, there are two keywords in the parables of the kingdom. There are parables and then there is the kingdom. So what is it that the sower was sowing? Well, it was the word of the kingdom. It wasn't just his own word, but the word of the kingdom. Now, that tells us that it is important that our preaching should be about the things of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. That is so important. Now, when he doesn't hear it, though, the person that is a wayside hearer, the devil takes it from him. Well, let's talk about the rest of the people. That's the wayside hearer. What about, you know, the one that received seed in stony places? Remember, he said he sprang up quickly because he had no depth. Well, depth is important. You know, it's not the speed at which we come up that's important. Trees that grow quickly, when you plant a seed and within a couple of days they're grown quickly, they have no deep root. When the storm comes up, it's going to blow them away. They have no deep root. But the trees that last forever, those trees, the oak trees and the cedar trees and those things that you can't remove, they take a long time before they actually grow because they're spending a long time making deep root into the earth. And at, you know, for many weeks or months, you may see nothing because the whole time they're going deep, deep, deep down. The root is going down deep. And finally, when they figure they've got everything they need in place, then the thing finally starts to spring up because the root is so deep in the ground, you know, it's almost impossible to move those trees. You know, but the ones that have no root within themselves, they spring up quickly, but they have no root. Now, it is important for us to have root within ourselves, you know, and let's not cast away that root. That root is important. The basic things of the kingdom, those are the roots, you know. Jesus said, look, you guys are, in Matthew 23, he said, you guys are focused on all the things that are not important. But you leave the weightier matters of the kingdom, the root, you know, the love, the righteousness, the this and that. You leave those and you are more concerned about you didn't tithe this, you didn't tithe that, and so on. And he was calling it out. So the things of the kingdom, the fruit of the spirit, you know, the righteousness and judgment and mercy and things of the kingdom. Jesus said, well, these things are the weightier matters of the law. Now, this one that fell by the stony places, he is the one that heard the word and right away receives it with joy. But because he has no root within himself, he endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. You know, so Jesus explained it. Now, that's the one that received, you know, at first it looks like, you know, they are jubilant, but they have no root. They didn't go through discipleship. They didn't go through anything. You know, somebody probably just tell them, you know, hey, you know, give your life to Christ and you'll be saved. And they are excited, you know, or they say, sign your name here, you know, or whatever. I mean, they don't have root. There is no training. They don't understand anything, but they seem to, you know, have joy initially. But because they have no understanding and no training, well, eventually when there is some persecution, they haven't learned that persecution comes with the word. They haven't learned that persecution arises because of the word and because of their faith. Well, they're going to get offended and they're going to fall away because they have no root in themselves. So it's very important for us. When we're bringing new believers into the fold, in the kingdom, to make sure that they are established. Now, either that be planted in the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. Must be planted, deep roots. You gotta have deep roots, you know, in anything. You know, if you don't have deep roots, it's just like people even talk about conviction. People that don't have deep conviction about anything, they may have some conviction, but it's not deep. You know, somebody, some small argument will blow them away. It'll be like a wind, you know, of the sea tossed to and fro. You know, every slight of man and wind will blow them away because they don't have deep conviction in anything. You know, one day they are here, the next day they are there. They're just like yo-yo. So deep conviction is very important. And people who don't have it, because they lack discipleship, that's how they get it. You know, training, Bible study. You know, that's one thing that is missing, you know, in many, you know, areas of the kingdom, congregations, churches, and so forth. You know, people don't like Bible study. You know, and that's where you're going to get the deep roots. And if Bible study is not offered, they're not going to get it. But when you offer it and they don't want it, then it's discouraging. You know, I know that in our own local church, when we first started, we had Bible study every week. And sometimes even on Fridays, we'll have night vigil, digging deep. We'll go into these things. People wouldn't show up. You do the Wednesday Bible study. You know, there will be only two or three pastors, maybe one of their wives. And that's it. Is that what the Bible study was supposed to be about? Week after week after week, people wouldn't come to these Bible studies. Well, guess what? They did not learn anything because they were not there when it was to be taught. Finally, it closed down, turned it into a prayer meeting. You know, because, and then the people have no root in themselves. You know, many of those people could not withstand anything because they have no roots in themselves. Bible study is where the digging deep is at, and that's where we learn the things, deep things of the Spirit. It's not just in preaching an exciting sermon on Sunday, you know. It's in digging into the Scriptures, bringing out Scriptures. You know, that's why many of the lessons we do in this room, on this house or platform, we do it in terms of teaching. In fact, as a matter of fact, I call them lessons. You know, it's like Bible study. We go deep into it. Bring Scripture, compare Scripture with Scripture, and so forth. So that your faith is not based on the eloquence of this Scripture, of this speaker, but on the word of God. You know, you have scripture. You know, and my purpose is that people should become word people. I mean, the word. You're a word person. The bride of Christ will be the word bride. We know that. That was hammered into our heads in the 70s and 80s. And I determined one thing, that I would learn the word of God. Because the Bible says that, you know, that's how we must be. There's a scripture in the Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. And the Lord gave me when I just came into the faith. And I kept that scripture in my heart for a long time. Didn't talk about it much. Lately, I've referred to it here and there, but didn't most of the time talk about it. But it was something that I kept in my heart. And if you read it in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, this is what Ezra determined within himself. Say, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Hallelujah. And then teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So I, you know, determined from a long time ago, I was going to know this word. You know, I'm going to try to do it, and I'm going to try to teach it also. Because if you teach it, but you don't do it, Jesus said, you'll be the least in the kingdom. Well, I don't want to be the least in the kingdom. So I better make sure I do it as I teach it. But first, you got to determine your heart to seek this thing and to do it. Praise the Lord. Now, so even Jesus, in the lessons of Jesus, and I mean, in the ministry of Jesus, some of the things that we see about him was not just about teaching. It was also about doing. Hallelujah. You know, the things that he did, the things, you know, that Jesus, you know, was teaching. It was both doing, Bible say how he went about doing good, and it was also teaching. You know, all the things that he was doing, showing us, you know, all that he began to do. Let's read Acts chapter 1, verse 1. You know, Luke was the writer of this book of Acts, and he said, the former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He was talking about the Gospel of Luke that he wrote. And now he's going to write some other things about, you know, what the apostles did and so forth. So both to do and to teach, all of that go, you know, hand in hand. Well, teaching is also a parallel, I mean, with, must be accompanied with learning. If we go to school and the teacher is teaching and we're not learning anything, then what good is it? Wherever there is a teacher, there must be students. And, you know, wherever there are students, there must of necessity be the need for teachers. And so, you know, but those that have no root in themselves, is it that because they lacked teaching, there were no teachers, or there was no focus given to a Bible study, or the people themselves would not yield themselves to it? Either way, they ended up having no root within themselves, and eventually fall away when there is persecution that comes on account of the word that they have believed, because they had no root in themselves. Now, so that's the one on stony ground. Well, what about he that received the seed among thorns? He said, he is the one that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, so they actually did receive the word, the ones that were on, you know, among thorns. But, you know, they allowed the cares of this world. And so Jesus is describing all these various categories of what happened when people receive the word of God, whether it leads to growth or whether it leads to something else. You know, so these ones, they received the word of God, but their focus was based on the cares of this world, running the so-called rat race, run up and down and so forth, focus on the deceitfulness of riches. Some people are focused. Scripture says those that will be rich, they will fall into many hurtful, you know, dangerous things. Focus on wanting to be rich and this and that. You know, pursuing things, which God said, you should seek first the kingdom of God. And these other things will be added. When we put it in reverse and seek those things first and have no time for the kingdom, you're going to fall into diverse things, diverse problems. Have a heart, you know, an arrow through their heart eventually. You know, these ones, the things choked the word out of them. All the things that they were pursuing rather than pursuing the things of God. And they become unfruitful, Jesus said. You remember the story of the fruitful vine in John chapter 15. I mean, the fruitful branches rather. The vine and the fruitful branches. You know, the branches that were not fruitful eventually cut off. You know, so, but finally, there's another category. But praise the Lord for the good news at the end of the parable. The first three categories, well, wayside hearers, stony places hearers, among thorns hearers, they didn't produce anything. But there is the seed that also fell on good ground. There's always good ground. You know, whereas we see that the good ground seemed like it was a one quarter of the types of grounds, three out of four were not good, but there was one. There's always the remnant. At first, it doesn't look like they are too many, you know, because the majority don't want any part of God, or they would think they have God, but they are not serious and they fall away. But finally, there's this group that received the word, you know, on good ground. And what makes that ground good? Well, let's talk about it. You know, in the planting or farming, you know, concept, what makes a ground good? Well, there's a lot of work that goes into making the ground good. The ground may be fallow initially. You know, it may have thorns initially. And then they have to plow, you know, I mean, if, you know, when they acquire new ground that they're going to use for farming, it's probably overgrown with weed and all kinds of things that shouldn't belong there. Well, they bring, you know, they bring the tractor and the plows and everything. Plow the ground. Break up the fallow ground. They do all of that. And sometimes the ground is parched up, dried up from the sun and has not, you know, they got to deal with that ground, you know, fertilize the ground, get rid of all the weed and all that stuff before they start to plant. You can't plant your do your planting among all those weeds and everything, and choke everything away. You know, so there is a preparation of the ground that is important. And the Holy Spirit, you know, he does that. For those that are appointed unto salvation, he will prepare their heart. When they hear that word, they receive it. And then they go and check it out, just like the Bereans did. They check it out to see that whether those things were so. And they begin to grow through Bible study and different things. They believe the word of God. And as they begin to believe it, God gives them even more. You know, because the scripture says, here is the man to whom I will look. In the book of Isaiah, it said, look, the heavens are mine, the earth is mine, and so forth. I mean, heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. My hands have built all these things. You know, what will you give me? But this is the man to whom I will look. Even he that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. You know, so the one that trembles at the word of God and is the word of God is important to them, God is going to give them even more. God said, look, you know, I will have regard unto such a person. But the one that doesn't care about the word, the very little that he hears, because he has no understanding, the devil's going to get it away from him. So understanding is so key. Now, Jesus laid that parable out, and he said it. And for the good ground sowing, or the sowing that fell on good ground, well, let's see what happened. It brought forth different, production. Now, production at different levels. You might put it that way. There was 30-fold, there was 60-fold, and there was 100-fold. well, maybe 30%, 60%, and 100%. And, you know, they go on to maturity. They may start out little, they grow. And there is more to be said about that. You know, I know one time when we were using the temple layout to teach some things, we talked about the 30, 60, and 100. Well, we see that at first, it's difficult to come into the 100 right away because there's a process to it. You know, but, you know, you can come into the 30, but, you know, there's a lot of things more, you know, that need to be obtained. When people have first received salvation, people first saved, and they come into the fold, they're in the outer court, so to speak. And, you know, at best, even all the things that they are doing there, they may even be receiving instruction, but, you know, they may, at best, get 30-fold. You know, and if they are not, if they don't have the menorah, it's represented by the candlestick, you know, the Holy Spirit and so forth, you know, you can only read the Bible and get so much knowledge by the flesh. You can read this Bible over and over again without the Holy Spirit. At best, you have 30-fold production. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes in there, you know, then the grace of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, they can go deeper. Now they are 60-fold, but they're still, you know, there's still the flesh that they have to contend with. You gotta kill that flesh. And the Holy Spirit will help, you know, but we've got to, you know, mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Holy Spirit. But they're growing. You know, they started at 30, now they are 60. But there's still a lot of distraction. There's a lot of distraction. There is sin consciousness. There is self-righteousness. There's all these things that must be done away with. But eventually, when they figure out how to get into that one-on-one concentration on God, they might actually attain close to 100-fold. And it's one-on-one. Only one person goes into that most holy place. And there it's full concentration. It's like one-on-one. That's 100%. It's 100-fold. They got their concentration. There's no distraction. They've gotten rid of the sin consciousness, the self-righteousness. They've gotten rid of, you know, even the need consciousness. There's need consciousness also that keep us away from getting 100-fold. You know, when God said to Abraham, I am your shield, an exceeding great reward. God wasn't offering Abraham material things at that point. He was offering himself. And Abraham, but he turned around with need consciousness, which is the same that we do today. And that need consciousness will prevent us from getting that 100-fold. Because we're still dealing with, when the Lord offering himself, you're saying, well, but I need a child. You know, but God said, I'm going to give you myself. I say, well, that's good, but I need a child. You know, so that is important when we read how the Lord dealt with it and the conversation between the Lord and Abraham in Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision and said, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. And that exceeding great reward, I, myself, you know, not the things I will give you. But Abraham right away said, well, yeah, Lord, but that's good. But, you know, what will you give me? The Lord already said, I'll give you myself. Say, but what will you give me? You know, so that's need consciousness right there. Well, seeing that, you know, I go childless and the steward in my house is this Eliezer of Damascus, you know. And the Lord said, my goodness, I just said I will give you myself. But the Lord, there was an eternal purpose in it. So God overlooked some of that, you know, and went ahead with it too. But you can see how need consciousness can play into things. When God is giving us himself, you know, we're looking for something else. Let me tell you this. The scripture says, you know, all good and perfect gifts come from above. We've talked that you know, we talked about that, you know, when we read the book of James, when we did the book of James study. They come from above, you know, according to the book of James, in James chapter 1, verse 17. But even though all good and perfect gifts come from God, let me put it to us this way. Even the things that are good, the things that are perfect, that come from God, because that's where they come from, according to James 1:17, even those things cannot replace God. God never gives us anything to replace himself. You know, so, but sometimes we focus more on the things that God can give us rather than God himself. Now, if you have faith and you ask God for something, you get it. But then what? You know, so that's the thing though, you know, because Jesus said, look, if you have faith, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe and you shall receive them. But then what? After you receive them. Sometimes the things we receive from God can actually become a distraction. And that's what prevents us from going to the hundredfold. The distraction. You know, sometimes the blessings, if we're not careful, the things that people receive from the Lord might become a distraction. You know, sometimes people pray, you know, for, you know, a job, a good job and so forth, you know, and they get it. And then it becomes a distraction. I mean, they're now so embedded in that job, they don't have time for anything else. And the devil knows that. So you will make sure that you're entangled with so many things. It becomes a distraction. I mean, the good things of life that come from God can become a distraction and prevent us from going to the hundredfold. Children sometimes, we pray for children. You know, and when parents have children, they are so doting on the children and so forth, they become a distraction. The children cannot take a place of God. Neither can your husband or your wife. God's got to be number one. I mean, things that we do, you know, even things we do for the Lord cannot take the place of God himself. You heard it. Even things we do for the Lord cannot, or we think we're doing for the Lord. Let me put it that way. Even things we think we're doing for the Lord cannot take place of God himself. Because, you know, sometimes when we think we're doing God a service, I mean, it's just motions that we're going through. But those cannot replace God himself. That means, you know, even when we're in the ministry and doing this and that, it cannot replace our direct one-on-one relationship with the Lord. You know, because out of this relationship is where the things we do from God should come. Relationship we have with God is what should lead to those things we do for him. But if we are judging our stand with God based on the things we do, then, you know, we may miss the mark because, you know, maybe I'm a preacher. Maybe I sing in the praise team. Maybe I'm a this and that in the church. And we just do those things. And we know there's so many people that do those things, but really, they're not connected as a shoot. So Jesus, he told us that. He said, look, even some of the things that God can give us, like, you know, give me food, give me drink, give me what to wear, give me this and that. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked about that. He said, all these things are what the heathen are seeking after. You know, Father, give me this. Father, give me that. Father, give me this. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that unbelievers pray to God? They pray. And their prayer is just that. God help me, oh. God help my pekin, oh. God help me. Help me to do this. Help me to do that. You know, because their prayer is always about what God can do for them, what he can help them when they are in trouble and so forth. But how many, you know, unbelievers can pray the prayer of the believer? The prayer of the believer, Paul was talking about it in Ephesians chapter 1 and also Ephesians chapter 3. He talked about it. I mean, can you hear a prayer from an unbeliever that says, I pray that the Lord will give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding might be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of God's calling, and I may understand the riches of his glory and the inheritance of his saints. Can they pray that prayer? Of course not. They pray though. God help me. God do this. God do that. Give me what to eat. Give me what to drink. That's their prayer. So except your righteousness shall exceed that, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom. I mean, if our prayer is just no better than what unbelievers are doing and praying, Jesus said, look, they're seeking after these things. You know, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. And many people, Pentecostals even. What's the difference between Pentecostals today? We're asking the same things. We're seeking after the same things that unbelievers are seeking. But we are using speaking in tongues to do it. You know, you speak in tongues for hours. What are you speaking in tongues for hours about? Just some need that Jesus said, don't even worry about it. Your father knows that you have this need. But yet you spend an hour speaking in tongues over those needs. What are you doing? You know, can't use the gifts of God like that. But a lot of us do that. And most people, when they're praying in tongues, they're just praying for all these material things, which Jesus already said. Your father knows you have need of these things. You know, you should pray, but don't spend the whole day praying about those things. Pray a simple prayer of faith and move on. Spend more time praying about that kingdom come. You know, give us our daily bread, simple prayer, but move on. You know, but we spend hours and hours. God will eventually do it, but, you know, our focus is shifted from the things of the kingdom to the things around us. Those are the things that choke the word out of us. Now, the good ground will eventually lead to 100-fold. In this series, we're going to be seeing how to get to that 100-fold. So this was one of the first lessons I wanted to start with. And remember what Jesus said. Everybody can hear the parables, but not everybody will understand them. And inside those parables are couched secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And next time we'll talk about why it was so important for Jesus to be talking about the things of heaven. What does it mean? I mean, because even his disciples and the Jews and everybody around him, they didn't understand. They said, well, you know, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? I mean, we thought you're coming out here to save us and do all these things. And Jesus had a plan. He'll save you, but not the way you're thinking. And so, you know, people didn't really understand. But when Jesus came, he came preaching the kingdom. John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. Jesus sent out his disciples preaching the kingdom of God. What was it all about? You know, because he was trying to introduce us to something that we lost and bring it back. And so many of the parables that Jesus told were intended to bring out some mysteries, some secrets about the kingdom of heaven and why they are so important. The concept of the kingdom is so important. Yet, many of us either don't understand it at all, or we don't pay attention. Now, some people don't even understand that God has a kingdom. And we just think that we are here on earth. Every day, just wake up, go to work, come back, do this, and so forth. Is that what life's all about? Where do you fit in the kingdom? What is Jesus trying to portray by these parables of the kingdom? Why? You know, and why did he talk about the word of the kingdom? That's what real preaching should be about. Shouldn't be about just saying anything we want. Word of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's going to be a wrap for our lesson today. I'm going to just summarize this lesson. We are on the subject of parables of the kingdom. And what these parables are intended to do ultimately is to give us understanding about the mysteries of the kingdom. You know, which means, mystery means, well, it's not plain and everyone understands it. And parable also means the same thing. It's a story that's kind of couched, illustrate a point, but not everybody gets it. It's out there, but nobody gets it. You know, I mean, not everybody. Some people will get it. And most of the time, they did not, even the disciples did not get it initially, but they come back to Jesus and ask. And they say, well, have you also no understanding? And then he would explain it to them. And then they say, ah, and Jesus would say, what, you now understand? He said, yes, Lord. And I say, okay, cool. You know, but we got to, you know, when you take a look at these parables, and there are many of them, Jesus spent a long time talking about these things. You have to look when you read them of what is he he's trying to convey? What lesson? What message? What hidden mystery in the kingdom that he's trying to convey by those parables? I pray today that we will not be wayside hearers of the word. I hear the word, but get no understanding, and ultimately they lose it. That we would not be like those that receive the word in stony places, which, because of no root, they grow up quickly though. But, you know, when the skunk comes up, gets scorched. We will not be like that in Jesus' name. We pray that we will not also be like those that receive the word among thorns and the, you know, pressures and cares of life and different things. Choke the word, you know, become unfruitful. We will not be like that in Jesus' name, but we will be like the good ground. The first 30, 60, and 100. But we will not stop at 30, neither we will stop at 60. We must press on. Paul said, I press toward the mark. He's going for that 100% all the time. You know, putting behind things. You know, not resting on my laurels or my oars or any achievements. I'm looking, always looking for more. Hallelujah. And if any man thinks that he knows anything yet, Paul said, he knows nothing like he ought to know. So, let everybody walk soberly. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. If you think you know anything, you don't know anything yet. And so, don't stop at 30 when you can get 60. Don't even stop at 60 when you can get 100. We got to keep moving on. And Jesus said, therefore, be ye also perfect. Matthew 5 and 48. Yeah, because that's the goal. As your heavenly Father is perfect. Some people say, well, you know, who can be perfect? Well, I don't know. But that's what, you know, God demands. He demanded the same thing even of Abraham in Genesis 17 and 1. After several years of Abraham walking with God already, he told him, you know, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And that's what he's always looking for. And that perfection comes at that hundredfold. What does it look like? What is perfection? How do we get there? Jesus explained this in the book of Luke, chapter 6. And verse 30. This is what perfection looks like. And that's how you get there. He said, he made a remarkable statement here. He said, the disciple is not above his master. Luke 6 and 40. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So what's the definition of perfection? Be like the master. And what is the process of getting there? Discipleship. That's it. It is only the disciple through discipleship that can become like the master. But they cannot become better. They can be greater, but they can become. And when they become, then they are considered perfect. That's what Jesus said. So what is perfection? Is becoming like the master. How do you get there? It's through discipleship. And what is discipleship? Well, it starts with Bible study, studying what the Word of God says, and particularly the things that Jesus said about that kingdom of God, which was what was consuming him in his mind. So the zeal of the Lord consumed him. He was always talking about that. We need to understand these things. I'm going to pray over the room and leave it there. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Give you glory for the understanding that comes from hearing your word. Father, we pray that our eyes will be anointed with eyes of to see wondrous things out of thy word. Let our ears also be anointed to hear, that when we hear, we will actually hear. And Lord, we pray that our minds will be anointed to receive instruction, hallelujah, and understanding what we see and what we hear to bring us understanding in our hearts. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's lesson number one. I haven't even gotten into what the kingdom is all about, but we'll get to it. This lesson was first to introduce to us the importance of getting understanding from anything that we are hearing or seeing God do. That's the importance. If we don't have that understanding, then we are lost. You know, because there's no communication. Or the communication is not being effective. You see that the Holy Spirit is communicating and we're not getting it. You know, and so on. So that's the key concept that's behind these parables. And as we go through them, we do a deep dive into what he's actually saying about these parables. Again, if you want to read ahead, there are many chapters in the Bible that contain some of these parables. Matthew 13, which is where we're in here. There are 6 or 7 parables in there. We've only covered one. Matthew chapter 20, there are other parables in there. Matthew chapter 25, there are more parables. Mark chapter 4, there are more parables. Luke 19, there are more parables. I mean, there's parables everywhere. We'll cover them as the Holy Spirit gives us the grace. And we'll bring out the concepts of the kingdom out of these parables. All right, I'm going to yield my mic here. And if anybody wants to share anything, you have opportunity to do so now. Welcome, everybody. Good morning and good afternoon. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, everyone. I'll just share quickly, just on my own quick thoughts. Normally when I listen in on the room, I'm always doing something, either at work, driving to work, getting the kids ready. And I realize that the things I hear, I don't really retain them. So though I can give you base knowledge, the Bible says study to show yourself approved. So just thank you for this message. It's been very convicting. Just like I went through school and I had to study and take notes and actually learn the material. The Bible is no different. Getting to know God is no different. So this is just conviction for me that, you know, I need to go back, listen to these studies, but not just listen, but take notes and study the same way I showed myself approved in school. I need to show myself approved for God. So just thank you for this message. And God bless you all. Have a good day.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Baraka, for that share. I mean, that's quick, short, but pointed. You know, we can't just listen to things casually. You know, there's something that he's intended, you know, to be brought out of what we are hearing. And there's understanding that we must gain from it. And if we're not, then probably because we're not spending time. And Sister Baraka said, well, let's go back and listen and study. Study the word that he's saying. Go back and check out to see if those things are so that you heard. You know, we're told that, you know, the Bereans, you know, they heard the word of God and they received it gladly. you know, but they went back and checked it out to see if those things were so. They didn't, you know, they didn't just say, well, we're not going to believe the word of God. You know, in Acts chapter 17, it talks about it. You know, it said, look, these people, you know, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. But they received the word of God with eagerness, and then they went back and searched whether those things were so. They did that daily. Now, from that lesson, we probably see that those in Thessalonica either were not paying attention or couldn't care very much about what they heard, you know, and the Bible says, well, you know, they were not considered noble. But the people in Berea, when they heard the word, they actually did receive the word with joy, but they didn't stop there. They went back and studied the scriptures. Acts chapter 17, verses 11 to 12. They studied what these things I heard, are they so? And that's what everybody should be doing when you come to this platform. We throw out a lot of scriptures. Thank God for those that help us post the scriptures. Because when you go back to the room, those listen to the replay, those scriptures are a permanent record with the room. You can go back and get some of those scriptures and say, well, what is God actually saying? And it is true that in the morning, many of us are doing stuff. I mean, that's understandable. I mean, you have to go to work. You got up. You still have to come to this room. You got to do more than one thing at a time. Otherwise, you won't get to work on time. So we understand that. You know, you're listening, but then you're trying to get ready. Maybe you're cooking, preparing your lunch, or you're in the shower or whatever. Or there's distraction. People are getting their kids ready. I mean, so yeah, that's stuff. And that must continue. There's nothing we can do about that. But if you find that you're not getting it because of all the distractions, you got to find time to go back and listen and separate some time when you can actually meditate on those things. That's what Stabarakat is saying. So thank you for sharing that. And it's the same for all of us, not just for her. It's all of us. You know, sometimes when God is telling us something, you know, we're just, there's so much noise and distraction around us that we need to detach ourselves, separate, so that we can hear what God is saying and meditate on what he's saying. You know, make sure you understand what he's saying. Praise the Lord. So thank you for sharing that, Sabarakat, and God bless you. May the Lord grant you understanding in all things as well. The word of God is what helps us to grow. You know, we hear the word of God, hear the word of God, hear the word of God. I know my personal testimony when I first became a believer many years ago. You know, I was soaked in the word of God, and that's what helped me. We were in a group back then that was called Scripture Union, and it was all about Bible. I pounded this Bible thing into our head. Bible, 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 Bible verses. Got to know it, got to know it, got to live it also. You know, and then a couple years later, you know, I learned many of those verses, but they didn't make too much sense, but I learned them anyway. A couple years later, Holy Spirit came. My goodness. And then all of a sudden, all those scriptures brought them to my memory, just like Jesus said. And it put a light to it. I mean, it was like, all of a sudden I understood so many things. And it was like, I mean, my spiritual growth then, you know, I met some people and they thought I had been in the ministry for like 10 or 12 years. Whereas it was only a few months, you know, because the Holy Spirit and the embedding in the scripture, you know, that was the growth. So I understand exactly what that is all about. That's how you do it. Grow in the word of God, grow in the grace, grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, in one of his sermons, the very last thing that Peter would write, in 2 Peter chapter 3, you know, and verse 18, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do you do that without spending time, you know, in his presence? You got to do it. Jesus told there was a story in the gospel of Martha and Mary, and Jesus went to visit them one day, and Mary was running around doing all these things, trying to serve you know, which was a good thing. I mean, she was being hospitable, you know, so there are guests and so on. But Mary just sat down and said, hey, you know, Lord, you know, tell me more about those things, some of those parables, you know, tell me more. You know, and she was just hearing more. And Martha came back and said, Lord, I mean, why is my sister sitting here when I'm running around by myself alone? Tell her to join me and help me. I've got a lot of things to do to feed everybody. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're so encumbered with so many things. You know, your sister has chosen the needful thing. I'm not going to stop her from it. So from that story, we see that running around and all these things, which may be good, may not be as needful as sitting at the feet of Jesus and figuring out what he's saying. You know, so that's, you know, in many words, that's what Sister Barakat was bringing out. So thank you for sharing that. All right. Anyone else want to share? There's something else I want to encourage us, if you're thinking of speaking or not, still wondering. When you read these parables, or anything in the Bible for that matter, don't go in there reading them as if you already knew what it said and just gloss over it. Just read again and see what the Holy Spirit is saying. I guarantee you, God will shed some light on something you hadn't seen before. I mean, how many of us have read a scripture which we have read many times before, and all of a sudden, one particular day, it's like, my goodness, I never saw that. Well, yeah, you know, because the word of God is powerful like that. You know, you can read it many times over, and the Holy Spirit can still show you new things, even though you've read it many times. One day you'll say, my goodness, I thought I never read that, or I never heard that. Suddenly he opens something to you. It may be you reading it yourself, or it may be somebody explaining that scripture or reading it to you. And then all of a sudden you say, wow, I never saw that. I never heard that, but you've read it and you've seen it. And the Holy Spirit suddenly, you know, reveals it to you. That's why we must keep learning at his feet and putting into those practice the things we learn. Let's not be like those that are ever learning, but not coming to the knowledge of the truth. That one is no good either. We must be putting into practice what we are learning. Over the last 1 month, we've learned a lot of things on this platform. Well, let's put them into practice. We've learned about the fruit of the Spirit. Let's put it into practice. We've learned about, you know, what God is saying and what he's going to do for us this year. Well, let's put it into expectation. Put everything into high gear. And let's be the word bride, basically. Let's be the, you know, you are so, you know, into the word of God that the devil can't pull any wools over your eyes. You know what the word of God says. As in Isaiah 8 and 20. Go back to the word. Anybody say anything that's not according to the word, there's no light in them. Always go back. Praise the Lord. Everything must line up with the word of God. You must have that. You must develop yourself to that level. It takes time, but it's all about, you know, studying the word of God. Praise God. And those of us who have been around for a while, we're trying to encourage you. The way you get there is through studying the word of God. There's no other way. You study, you study, you study. And Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. He can't bring to your remembrance what you never knew. You know, might give you inspiration about something you never knew, but to bring to your remembrance is something you already knew. That's what remembrance is. You knew it, but you forgot it, or you didn't understand it, and it'll bring it to your remembrance. So we must study, and Jesus promised that. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance things I already said to you, things you already read in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance, but you got to read it. Praise God. All right, I want to do a short prayer request for Brother Raphael. He's going in for another procedure this morning for his eyes. You haven't seen him here on this platform because he's been dealing with that. And, it's a painful process. People are poking at your eyes all the time. And so on and so forth. But we have got to keep in our prayers. Now, that's one of the most delicate parts of the body. Jesus called it the gateway to the soul or the heart. You know, said the light of your eye is the gateway. You know, if it's clear, then your whole body is clear. You know, so we got to lift him up in prayers. I want to ask for prayer for him this morning. Going in for another procedure. He may already be in there, not sure exactly when, but I know it's today. And so, can we take prayer for Brother Raphael? Please open your mouth and pray for him. We need God to get him out of this quagmire of surgeries and procedures on his eyes. Enough already. Proverbs 23 and 18. Let us declare that for him. Surely there is an end, and there must be an end to this procedure, and the end must be that his eyes are fully recovered. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, and anointed me to bring recovery of sight. Glory to God. Prayer for Brother Raphael in Jesus' name. Would you pray?
Baruch Shandiri Abasa. Father, we thank you.
Eternal Spirit, we thank you. Eternal Father, we appreciate you. Kasatu Mandeli, Kasatu Kesadari, Kasatu. Enough, it is enough indeed. We agree, O God. Regarding this eye surgery, the Lord to be final, be to go final, O God, be to go final surgery, O God. Final corrective surgery, O God, in the name of the surgeon, at the hand of the surgeon, the Lord God Almighty, will do the surgery through his hand. Correct all these anomalies in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, my Father, open to you, Lord God Almighty. Our brother is blessed. We are 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 blessed. My Father, thank you. Thank you because you are good. Thank you because you are faithful. Thank you because of the power of God. The power of God. We send your word to your son right now. We have heard about your word. Your word, your word. Yeah, your word has never set up above you. Whatever we call your word is set up on your word. The word is concerning everything that pertains to him. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. We have come the victory of the cross over his life. In the name of Jesus, my Lord and my God, you are the creator of heaven and earth. Over to you, over to your healing hands, over to your restoration.
In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for our brother Raphael. Thank you because it is well with him. It shall be well with his eye as well. Lord, the anointing of the Lord will be with him. The angel of the Lord will be with him. Whatever procedure they are doing, Father, you be with him, Lord. Father, we don't want them to be doing these procedures all the time on his eyes. Come through for him, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we cover him with prayers this morning. We cover him with our prayers. We cover him with the blood of Jesus this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Ah, thank you, everybody, for praying. Keep our brother in your prayers. Praise the Lord. I want to give a shout out to Sister Lola. Thank you for a good job that you're doing with the Bible study on Wednesdays. You know, I had a little bit of time to listen in yesterday. I was able to come in for a bit, although I was busy. Nonetheless, I was able to listen for a bit, and, you know, I was impressed, you know, that, you know, of the effort. And I prayed for you, Sister Lola, yesterday, that the Lord continue to give you the grace. An amazing job that you're doing there in your generation. It was amazing, you know. They were dealing with the book of Esther, and they might have been doing it for a while, but it's in my heart to go there and support, but not all the time I can go as I'm busy. I was there yesterday and it was really good. That's the stuff that I heard. So thank you for the work that you're doing and continue. The grace of God continue to be with you and strengthen you in that. You will not be weary. Praise the Lord. God's spirit that is in your mouth will not depart from you. You continue to be a light, you know, and, I'm going to see about inviting, some young people to go to that Bible study because I heard some good stuff, yesterday. I was so proud. Praise the Lord. You know, so, thank you for the good work and we thank the Lord for what he's doing. We pray that, you continue. The Lord will continue to use you. Praise God. I know many of you have your various things that you're doing. And the Lord continue to bless you in what you're doing. And Sister Titilayo, one of these days, I'm going to be there. come out there to England one day and fellowship with you guys there. I know you're doing some good work there. And
amen, 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 sir. My husband, he said, Pastor Sidney, say amen, sir.
Amen, sir.
We will be there by the grace of God. We declare it. You know, amen. Coming one of these days, you know.
I'm seeing it in the spirit as well. Amen. I receive it, sir.
Amen. We're coming.
Declaration, sir.
Amen. We'll be coming by the grace of God one of these days, you know. And you know, every one of you that has a good thing going on, you know, we want to partner with you. It's all about the kingdom, you know, partnering together in these things. You know, we'll partner together and see what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
And, you know, I want to also say that we've been praying and I'm praying that the Lord will bring, working with God to a city near you.
Amen.
I know we are a virtual ministry, but you know, we can, you know, go places too. And every time we go somewhere now, I determine in my heart and I'm praying to it, we're going to have some real fellowship, you know, when walking with God, people come together because it was such a blessing last time when you guys came to Arizona. You know, we had planned it that we were going to have a special day of, you know, of just the walking with God people specially. And Lady Evan was always telling me what she was envisioning. I wasn't going to force anything. I was just going to let God do whatever he was doing, going to do. But we did plan that special day on the Sunday after. And my goodness, before we knew it, USP just took over. And so every time we go to a place where there's a lot of walking with God people, I want you to be praying about it. You know, we're going to storm the place. And we're going to have Walking with God style fellowship. Praise God. You know, one of these days, we might have an on-ground, I think we're going to do more of that, on-ground convention. Praise the Lord. So we'll be having, and Stabarakat, we're coming. you get ready. You know, we're coming. You know, we're coming. We're coming. And the Lord is going to do great things. I'm talking about walking with God. You know, we've been praying about, you know, this platform that God would take and do more things. And, you know, it started small. The Bible says the beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. You know, but that scripture that Sister Titilaya was latching onto the other day in the book of Jeremiah 30:19, you know, the congregation should not be small and they will not be few. You know, well, I'm believing for myself, believing for, you know, Triumphant Faith Ministries, believing for everybody.
Amen, amen, sir. Amen, sir.
Everybody that's doing anything here that, you know, the Lord is using, we'll believe in God. And we're looking for, you know, more of what the Lord will be doing. So, you know, some things are coming. We're positioning ourselves for some things to come. You know, so the Lord will open opportunities for us. We, you know, maybe one day we'll have camp meeting. You know, auspices of walking with God. Maybe someday we'll have a crusade in some city. Maybe we'll do this and that. We never know, you know, what the Lord will do. But let's just keep believing God. But we thank God for the opportunity for this platform and for every one of you that's doing one thing or the other. You know, we appreciate you and we thank God for you. You have our prayers. You have our support. That's all for the kingdom. And, you know, the more we can take down the kingdom of the devil and establish the kingdom of God, the better. We need more laborers. We need more hands. Jesus said it himself. The field is wide enough, ready for harvest, but laborers are not plenty enough. A few. So he said we should pray. God will send laborers. And I'm praying that God will send laborers. I'm praying that you will be excited about the things that God wants to do. You know, and that God will put ourselves in positions for God to do things, through us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we have opportunities, coming, you know, and every time we visit one of you, wherever you are, well, that's walking with God coming to you. Praise the Lord. So we're going to, you know, take advantage of it and do something. You know, God sowed a seed in Arizona last July, and I saw how beautiful it could be. And the scripture talks about it too, how beautiful it is when brethren get together. There the Lord commanded a blessing. So, well, okay. We saw that. You know, cool. You know, we can do that again. Trusting the Lord to do that. Praise God. And we want to thank every one of you that's a member of this house. This Walking with God house. It's been an amazing fellowship, with all of you. And, I'm always so thankful for this platform. I mean, there's so many wonderful people we've met. We would not have met you had it not been for this platform. And, there's more people to meet. There's more opportunities for us to meet, you know, one another. And we're going to take advantage of it by the grace of God. So good things that the Lord is doing. Let's continue to pray for one another. Let's continue to support one another. And we're believing God, working with God will be there as well to support whatever you're doing. Let us know. We'll be there to support you. Praise the Lord. All right. The Lord bless everybody. We can close this room early. We're already at the top of the hour. And if there's no shares, we'll close. But if you want to read ahead, read those parables and see if you will prepare to share. I thought I heard somebody's mic opening.
Yes, sir. It's the Pastor Sidney wants to share something. So,
okay.
Hello. Hello, sir. Just a word of encouragement. Sometimes I listen in and but I don't say anything, but I've been blessed with what I've been hearing. I pray that the Lord will continue to strengthen you, sir.
Amen.
Thank God for the sound doctrine and the sound teaching and for everyone who have been contributing. It comes as, you know, meat in due season. Amen. And I pray that the Lord will continue to strengthen you and mommy. Amen. From glory to glory. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Amen. That's it. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sini. Hey, we want to hear your voice more, too. Praise the Lord. So, you know, when you have a chance, I know people are busy and stuff, you know, want to hear more from you. And thank you for those words of encouragement. We appreciate it. And I tell you, you know, what the Lord is doing in the body of Christ is amazing. And I want to hear more. That's why I always want to hear more. Well, you know, I've got a responsibility to come out here every day and give the word. But I don't want to be the only person to give the word every day. You know, that may not even be sustainable. Jethro one time in Exodus 18 told Moses, said, this thing you are doing is not sustainable. You're going to wear yourself out. You know, you're going to wear the people out as well. Every day. No, you can't do that. Well, give him some advice. You know, so, and only the grace of God can sustain such a thing like this. But we encourage you, everybody, I'm not just talking to Pastor Sidney, I'm talking to everybody on the platform. We encourage you. I know everybody's busy, you know, but make yourself available, to participate and share more from time to time. I personally love it. I mean, I'd love to sit back and hear other people teach. That's me. I mean, I'm not the kind of person who want to just hoard the platform to myself. I mean, that's not me. I was never brought up that way in the ministry, and I never knew that that's the way it should be. I always believed in the body ministry. You know, everybody, that which the joints supply. You know, but I've got a responsibility to bring the word daily. That's why I do it. Doesn't mean that I want to be the one that has to do it every day. Somebody steps up, gladly, you know, and I've tried to encourage people from time to time, but, you know, when people don't step up, well, I just leave them alone because they're busy, you know, so, but look, I just want you to know that the opportunity is always there. Just let us know if you want to share something, I want to hear from you as well. You know, that which every joint supplieth is important. Praise the Lord. And those of you that have been sharing with us on the platform from time to time, we appreciate that. You know, someday you may ask to take a whole lesson, and that will be possible too. That's available. So we do have, you know, some of our speakers. I've reached out to them in the background before, some months back. You know, if you want to do that, that's always an opportunity to do that. Praise the Lord. Right now we're in this series of this Parables of the Kingdom. I'm looking forward to sharing more with us. And these are the things that we have most assuredly believed. That's what Luke wrote about. He said, look, the things that are most assuredly believed among us, those are the things I want to share with you, when he was writing to this man called Theophilus. So we are also excited to share with you some of the things that are most assuredly believed among us. And so these parables of the kingdom and the truths of these things, you can read that in Luke chapter 1, verse 1. You know, declaration. He said, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth, you know, that a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, even as they delivered unto us, which were beginning from the beginning, eyewitnesses of ministers of the word, said, seemed good to me also. Having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee and set in order. So, you know, by the grace of God, that's what we are doing. Making a declaration of the things that the Holy Spirit is speaking, which I know people do believe. And that's why our fellowship is strong. But we are of the same mind and one accord. And God bless you all. We're going to close the room today. Please be prepared when you come tomorrow. We're going to do more of the Matthew 13. The Matthew 13 is where we're staying for now until we finish those parables there. So read ahead. But because it's a deep dive, we might jump to this and that, jump to that, jump to this scripture, jump to that. Comparing scripture with scripture. That's how we do it. But we will be going through those parables that are listed there, and also ultimately talking about the kingdom. Praise the Lord. All right. God bless you all. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Brother Victor and Sister Julia, for posting the scriptures.
Yes, thank you. Sometimes I forget to go look there. I have forgotten to look there today to acknowledge people. Thank you for posting that. Those are a lot of scriptures. Tag teamwork there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of scriptures that you posted for us. Thank you so much. God bless you. Hey, I remember our Walking with God has a back channel called, on the WhatsApp platform, we've got a Walking with God channel there. That is actually for people who are members of this house. And we don't want to use it for anything else other than encouraging one another. And we want people who, it should really be a part of this platform, which is, so it's associated with this platform. And, we want people to use it to encourage one another, you know, and God has given us the wisdom to do that, because this app here, they used to have a text back channel, which was no longer, they took that away. So we created that. We share gospel. The reason I say it, look there from time to time for announcements. There might be things that we post there from time to time. For instance, today, I don't know what I was thinking. I was looking for something in my office, and then I saw the book called The Principles of the Oracles of God. And I said, oh, The Principles of Oracles of God. I know some people have it, but maybe others don't have it. So I posted a link there. And from time to time, we will post things there that can be of use to you. So check that forum out from time to time. God bless everybody. Good morning and good afternoon. Have a good day. Thank you again, Julia and Brother Victor, and Lady Evelyn and everybody in the room, Pastor Sydney and everybody. Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow by the grace of God.